Laudator Jesus Christus, Vatican and World News.
In the headlines this Friday, May 14th, Pope Francis urges states to support families as many Western nations face a worsening demographic crisis. Church leaders in the Holy Land call for Israeli and Palestinian forces to de-escalate, and a deadly blast in the Afghan capital shakes the foundation of a recently agreed ceasefire. In the Vatican, I'm Devin Watkins. Pope Francis today made this short drive up the road from the Via Vatican to the Auditorium della Conciliazione, where he opened a high-level meeting on Italy's demographic crisis. Launching the General States of Birth Conference, the Pope highlighted the importance of solidarity, protecting the family, and generational sustainability as ways of improving the West's declining birth rate. Father Benedict Maiocchi has the details.
Pope Francis on Friday gave an address at a meeting on the General States of Birth, which held at the Auditorium della Conciliazione, close to the Vatican. The initiative, organized by the Forum for Family Associations, aims to explore the demographic crisis in Italy, which has been further brought to the fore by the ongoing COVID-19 pandemic that has resulted in increasing level of poverty among families. In his speech, the Pope applauded the idea behind the meeting, stressing that it was important to get in the country moving again, starting with life and the human being. Providing some context to the demographic situation in the country, the Pope noted that Italy has some of the lowest birth rates in Europe, transforming the continent into an old one, not because of its history, but rather because of the advanced age of the people. To remedy the situation, the Pope highlighted the importance of taking care of families, especially young families, who are assailed by worries that risk paralyzing their life plans. In this regard, the Pope turned his thoughts to those affected by the uncertainty of work or the high cost of raising children. At the same time, he lamented the plight of women at work who are discouraged from having children or those who have to hide their protruding stomachs.
Non la donna, ma la società deve vergognarsi.
It is the society that should be ashamed, not the woman, the Pope said, because a society that does not welcome life stops living. The Pope then went on to offer three thoughts that could be useful on the path out of the demographic winter. The first thought, the Pope said, revolves around the word gift. He explained that every gift is received, and life is the first gift that everyone has received. He added that we have all received a gift and we are called to pass it on, and a child is the greatest gift for everyone and thus comes first. The Pope's second thought centered on sustainability. He noted that we will not be able to feed production and protect the environment if we do not pay attention to families and children, because sustainable growth comes from there. The third word the Pope proposed is solidarity. He said that the world needs a structural solidarity that gives stability to the structures supporting families and helping birth rates. On this issue, the Holy Father stated the need for far-reaching, forward-looking family policies. Concluding his address, the Pope expressed his gratitude for the initiative and all who believe in human life and in the future. I'm Father Benedict Maiocchi.
Pope Francis today also addressed the Scouts of France on the occasion of their 50th anniversary as the troop makes a pilgrimage to Rome. The Pope encouraged the French Scouts to help rebuild a culture of community after the pandemic. Francesca Merlo has the story.
Pope Francis opened his speech to members of the French Scouts Unitaires on Friday by thanking the Council for this initiative, which recognizes you, the young Scouts, as protagonists in evangelization and in the construction of society. The Scouts are in Rome celebrating their 50th anniversary. The Pope went on to note that in society we find all too often a degradation of human relations and a lack of trustworthy models for young people in search of formation. This situation, he said, is made more precarious by the current health crisis. Faced with all these difficulties, the Pope noted that your Scout movement is a sign of encouragement to young people because it invites them to dream and to act, to have the courage to look to the future with hope. With their willingness to serve their neighbours, Scouts are also called to work for a more outgoing church and for a more human world, said the Pope. To this end, you have the noble mission to witness wherever you are that with your faith and your commitment you can enhance the richness of human relationships and make them a common good that helps social renewal. Therefore, said the Pope, I urge you to be both dynamic Christians and faithful Scouts. The Pope then noted that Scouts carry the message that respect for others and for the environment go hand in hand through their relationship with nature. Pope Francis then invited the scouts not to be discouraged by the selfishness of the world. Never lose sight of the fact that the Lord is calling you all to fearlessly carry the missionary message wherever you are, he stressed. Be sowers of hope, said the Pope, and help others to rediscover the life of community. I thank God for your witness during these 50 years in the service of your brothers and sisters and of the Church, which you support above all with your prayers, he added. Bringing his speech to a close, Pope Francis stressed his hope that this Jubilee will be an opportunity for each of you to renew your commitments in accordance with the legacy received from those who have preceded you in order to help young people to become free and responsible persons, respectful of others and of the environment. Finally, he prayed that the Virgin Mary might protect the scouts and turn her merciful gaze upon them all. I'm Francesca Merlo.
As Israeli and Palestinian forces ramp up their barrage of rockets and airstrikes, church leaders in the Holy Land continue to call on all sides to return to the negotiating table. The CEO of the Latin Patriarchate, Mr. Sami El Youssef, has said that a miracle is needed to end the fighting. He says recent developments are very serious and could drive an already boiling region into the abyss. As Nathan Morley reports, the Israeli military has intensified its assault on Gaza, while Palestinian militants continue to fire rockets into Israel.
This is now the fifth day of hostilities in the region. Latest figures show that 119 people have been killed in Gaza and 8 have died in Israel since the fighting erupted earlier this week. As Israel continued on Friday to bombard the Gaza Strip with air raids and artillery shells, Hamas, for their part, fired another barrage of rockets towards Israel. Many Gazans and Israelis are taking shelter. Reba Abu Rama is a student in Gaza. She's one of them.
We have no shelters in Gaza. The materials needed to build shelters are not allowed to enter Gaza by Israel. We tried to find safe spots, and we all know that there are no safe spots in Gaza, but we stay in the center of the house, in low apartments. People welcome each other. They stand with each other. The who live in high places or something like that, they go down. We try to tell kids that it's safer. We're going to be okay. We pray to God that we don't get killed, that our beloved ones and relatives do not get killed. But we all know that no place and no one is safe in Gaza.
Despite international calls for a halt of all hostilities, including from the UN chief Antonio Guterres, the Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has pledged the offensive will continue. In a shock announcement, Israel's military called up 7,000 army reservists. It's now understood troops and tanks have deployed along its border with Gaza. A ground offensive into Gaza is being considered, but a decision is still to be made. The violence in Gaza and Israel is the worst recorded since the year 2014. Elsewhere, one man was shot dead at a checkpoint in the town of Yabad near Jenin by Israeli security forces as Palestinians took to the streets across the occupied West Bank to protest against the air raids. Demonstrations were also held in the city of Nablus, Jenin, Ramallah and Hebron. As it stands, international efforts to broker a truce are underway, but little is known. There are reports that Egypt may be involved, as it has influence over Hamas. Mahmoud Fandi is from the London Global Strategy Institute.
Well, Egypt has influence over Hamas because certainly Egypt borders Gaza to start with. So the longest border with the Palestinian is Egypt. So the Hamas needs Egypt, and also Egypt needs Hamas. And Egypt has a great deal of experience dealing with the various forces that control the whole situation in Gaza.
For Vatican Radio, this is Nathan Morley reporting.
In Afghanistan, at least 12 people have been killed and more wounded in an explosion at a mosque on the outskirts of the capital, Kabul. The attack comes in the wake of a just-agreed ceasefire, as Linda Bordoni reports.
The blast during Friday prayers came on the second day of a three-day ceasefire agreed between the Afghan government and the Taliban on the occasion of the Eid al-Fitr religious holiday. There was no immediate claim of responsibility. Kabul police authorities said the explosives had been placed inside the mosque beforehand and that the victims of the blast include the imam of the mosque. An investigation has been opened. The explosion happened a day after at least 11 people were killed in four separate incidents across Afghanistan that shattered the relative calm of the ceasefire agreed between the government and the Taliban. Although there were no reports of direct fighting between the two warring sides as they observed the temporary ceasefire, roadside bombs continue to inflict casualties on civilians. The blast comes after Afghan officials said the United States had pulled out completely from a major southern airbase in the former Taliban stronghold of Kandahar. U.S. airstrikes were launched from the base just last week to help Afghan forces push back a major Taliban offensive. I'm Linda Bordoni.
Japan is continuing to support the United Nations effort in fighting hunger in Myanmar. More than 3 months of nationwide protests against the February 1st military coup combined with poverty and COVID-19 restrictions have wreaked havoc on the economy. As Robin Gomes reports, the food crisis in impoverished Myanmar is worsening quickly.
The United Nations World Food Programme on Friday welcomed a $4 million contribution from the government of Japan to support families in Myanmar's urban townships struggling to meet their basic food needs. The contribution will help WFP provide assistance to some 600,000 people in Yangon region. Food rations will be delivered directly into the hands of vulnerable families as part of WFP's new operation for 2 million people in the poorest townships of Myanmar's urban areas. The distribution started on Thursday in Yangon's Laing Tharia township. The government of Japan supports WFP's strenuous efforts in tackling hunger in Myanmar. Thanks to WFP's initiative, this assistance from the people of Japan will directly reach the most vulnerable population in the urban and peri-urban poor areas, said Japanese Ambassador to Myanmar Maruyama Ichiro. The government and the people of Japan will continue standing with the poor of Myanmar, he added. WFP estimates that up to 3.4 million more people, particularly those in urban areas, will face hunger within the next 6 months due to the triple impact of pre-existing poverty, COVID-19, and the ongoing political crisis. WFP Myanmar Country Director Stephen Anderson expressed the UN's gratitude to the people and the government of Japan, saying, "At this critical time, they once again stepped forward, extending compassion and support to the people of Myanmar. Generous contributions like this are integral in helping us prevent a large-scale humanitarian crisis from unfolding," Anderson said. Earlier this year, Japan provided $7.7 million to $4.7 million in January and $3 million in March towards WFP's ongoing food and nutrition support for people displaced by conflict in Chin, Kachin, Shan, and Rakhine states. I am Robin Gomes.
And finally, Monsignor Janusz Urbanicek, the Holy See's permanent representative to the Organization for Security and Cooperation in Europe, or OSCE, has addressed a meeting on media freedom. The Holy See considers the freedom of press and media, which should act as an instrument for conveying transparent and factual information, as an essential component to promoting democratic values and more just societies. Monsignor Urbanicek also said the Holy See wishes to underline the right of individuals to seek, receive, and impart information and ideas, also when it comes to religious and moral issues. Addressing the OSCE meeting on media freedom, he regretted the many preoccupying instances where private individuals and public officials or bodies seek to frighten or intimidate Christians, Jews, or Muslims, and members of other groups of minority religions. That brings us to the end of this edition of Vatican and World News. For more on these and other stories, go to our web portal at www.vaticannews.va. There you can also find all our broadcasts in podcast form. And don't forget to catch the latest updates on our Facebook page and Twitter feed. Many thanks go to our sound engineers in studio. In the Vatican, I'm Devin Watkins.